Today on The Grave Talks, Demon Infested Home, a conversation with Joe Campbell. A family thought they were living the American dream, a safe place to call home, kids, pets, and peace. Until that peace aspect was removed and something much more malevolent took its place. Diabolical voices whispering, "We like your pain," to the children seeing hands coming out of the walls while walking down them at night. What caused an otherwise peaceful home to turn very dark very fast? That's what we discussed today with Joe Campbell on The Grave Talks.
We got a message from, I'm not sure actually who it was, but a family needed help in Waterloo, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having issues with something messing with their children and the wife. The husband really didn't have much of anything going on whatsoever. He didn't really witness what he had going on. And he finally seen a dark shadow at one point. So they got a hold of us. How they got a hold of this, a different investigator ended up setting this up. And so we took the three and a half hour drive to Waterloo, Indiana, which is basically swampland and Indian reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was built in 1970.
Okay.
So by the husband's family. Basically, it was a kit house.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like you could like basically take anything down, put it up, or I'm not really sure how those actually work.
Yeah, it's one of those. The originals were like the Sears houses, which were way back even further than that. But you can still buy kit houses today. Essentially, you order the material, it's all there, and then you put it together. It's like an IKEA home almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we go in there and, we drive up. The husband meets us outside. Really nice guy. Doesn't look like a lot is bothering him. And we talk for, maybe about 10 minutes outside. It's cold, it's raining, whatever, so we go inside. The first reaction when you go inside as an investigator, you always scan the premises to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mother's standing there. What I seen was fear, the unknown, high anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really on nerves. And she was afraid of what we might come up with.
Let me ask you this before we continue. Was it her who reached out to you, or was it him who reached out to you initially?
I think it was her.
Okay.
It was her because they teach their children at home.
Okay.
They're
homeschooled. So when you're going into this and the wife has had these experiences, the kids have had these experiences, but the husband really hasn't had much of anything. Is he believing what's going on? Is he believing the words of his wife, or is this kind of a situation of let's get somebody in here and maybe calm her down or try and find an explanation? What's the mindset that he's in as you're entering the house and you're meeting him outside before you walk in?
Right. He believes her now,
mm-hmm.
but at one point he doesn't believe her.
Okay.
I can honestly say he doesn't believe her, but when he's seen something in his house with his own eyes,
mm-hmm.
he was kind of like, oh, maybe.
Okay.
So, you know, it takes two to tango during these investigations.
Sure.
You just can't say, I'm having these people over, whether you like it or not. we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get the other person on board. And I think he finally realized that something's in the house.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So you get there, you step in the house, you can see the stress, you can see the fear just visibly, you know, without even sensing anything else going on. But you can just tell that coming off of someone. What are you feeling at that moment? If you're blindfolded, if you didn't see the expression on her face, if you couldn't sense anything about the woman that was feeling those things, what were you picking up on in the house initially as you walked in?
I mean, when I walked in the house, I mean, you could tell it was well kept.
Mm-hmm.
They really cared about their children. They cared about each other and whatever. It didn't seem to me like there was any tension whatsoever when I walked into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't feel like a heavy presence when I went in there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel uneasy. Nothing like that.
Okay.
So we get in and we start talking to her, you know, I know she's nerved and she's whatever. And so we talk a little bit, whatever. So we set up our stuff, our static cameras and our digital voice recorders, our REM pods, our EDI meters. And so I'm like, So two of the guys went outside, and she's in the house with me,
mm-hmm.
and her husband left to get something. I think he went to go get something to drink. So I'm like, well, listen, I'm going to go and try to get an EVP out of one of these children's bedrooms, because that's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. And
there's children involved. I don't mind taking a 3-hour trip.
Sure. And I want to hear about what you found when you began your investigating, but let's take a quick step back before we get there. Tell me about what they specifically reported to you of what was happening in the house when they came to you and said, here's my list of things. What was on that list of things that they were concerned with, that they were experiencing themselves without any sort of investigative equipment or any real ways to document what was going on?
Right. But the kids would sleep on a couch. The kids won't sleep in their bed. I think they have 3 kids. So the kids will not sleep in their beds. They sleep out on a couch in the living room. Come to find out, the children have, I believe it's all 3 of them, or 2 of them, 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have bad dreams when they walk down the hallway to go into the living room. Hands come out to the wall, out of the wall to get them.
That's what the kids are reporting. They're seeing hands literally coming. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, are they? And maybe you have an answer to this. Maybe you don't. Are they hands of like they look like human hands? Are they shadow hands? Do they have a texture, a color, any discriminate features of the hands?
Yeah, I never got an answer with that. I asked. So what do the hands look like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like hands.
Okay.
Okay. And so one of the kids actually plays with an imaginary friend.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, really? So the imaginary friend, it's like, yeah, I play with so-and-so. I have to ask that my friend if I could do this, or I have to go somewhere, you stay here. And the mother was like, what? So she's having issues also, the mother is,
mm-hmm.
slamming doors when nobody's home. I don't know if she's actually hearing voices.
Okay.
She didn't mention that.
But she's sensing there's something going on by the slamming of the doors and what the children are reporting to her. Has she seen anything, you know?
She has seen shadows. She's seen a older woman in her hallway wearing a white dress.
Okay.
And so she actually is, she's like, oh my God. So That's what the claims were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So as for hearing voices and whatnot, that I don't believe they actually heard, audibly heard people talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the places that had the most activity was the children's bedroom. So I was like, okay, then I started my investigation. I was like, okay, I'm going to go in to the child bedroom and ask, see if I could get something.
Are they feeling anything in this house at this point? What are they feeling about the presence? Obviously, if anything messing with your kids, good or bad, that you don't know what it is, you can't identify it, it's something you don't want messing with your kids, and period. But are they reporting this being a kind of a negative thing, or just kind of an unexplained thing, kind of malevolent, kind of not malevolent? Is there any vibe, if you will, that they're getting out of what's going on with this presence, other than it just being something that is unexplained and really shouldn't be there?
Well, honestly, what the male, her husband, had told me was, her uncle, or his uncle Don, died in that house.
Okay.
So they thought Uncle Don was in this house.
Sure. So they go immediately to who died. That must be who this is.
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually believe that it's Uncle Don. And I'm like, okay. And when someone tells me someone died there and they're there, I'm kind of like, well, this is why we're investigating.
Yeah.
Because I just can't go off about what they say. I have to look outside the box,
mm-hmm,
and try to figure out what else it is.
Sure.
So I go in this bedroom, and I say, I'm Joe Campbell. Is there anybody else in here with me? And the voice said, I got an EVP, which is less dominant entity. I don't think it was meant to hurt anybody. It says, I am, get me out of here. Yeah, I was like, huh, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
So I come out, and I was like, oh, I got an EVP, and the wife's like, really, you did? I was like, yeah. So I played it. And she literally, her anxiety kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
She can't breathe. She's like, so she asked to open up the back door to get air. And I'm like, are you okay? For a whole hour, I literally had to sit there and tell her, because she was like, you know, you need to leave this house. I don't want you here. I mean, she was yelling. She was having a hard time. I was like, listen, I said, you're not going to do anything about this. We're the only ones that can help you.
Was she asking you to leave this house, or was she shouting at the spirit leave the house?
Yeah. She was asking the spirit to disperse.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
And I'm telling her, I was like, listen, we are the only ones that can help you. You need to calm down so we can get this investigation done and figure out what is going on in this house.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys come back, and she's still, and they're like, what's going on? And her husband comes home. He's like, he was like, should I leave? I said, yes, and take her with you.
Which is probably best at that moment, because you have people that are, you know, kind of hysterical, and you're trying to give them the answers that they need, and they're not in a state really at that moment to probably, you know, be their best selves to process all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because, you know, we're trying to help these children out. I mean, try to help the wife out, try to figure out what's going on in his house. And someone standing there ranting and raving and having issues with what I caught over a recorder, because it's not going to help you any.
Sure.
So we get our investigation going, and the husband asked me, said, "Hey, you mind if we go in my bedroom to see if there's anything in there?" I said, "Absolutely." So we go in there, and he's asking questions. We absolutely got nothing. Nothing whatsoever in this bedroom. Absolutely nothing. And we were getting voices here and there and whatnot, but it wasn't coming out to let us know what is there. Mm-hmm. So she finally calms down after a while, and we pull out the SLS camera, which is the structured light sensor camera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of your listeners know what that is. It's basically pick up figures with the Kinect cam.
Sure. It's using the Xbox Kinect type of setup. Yeah.
Right. So we were in one of the kids' rooms, and we picked something up in front of the closet. And over the recorder, now this is later on, I'm sorry, but one of my investigators sat down and we asked the entity that was standing there along with him, "Could you touch Bill's hand?" So Bill goes and sits down, and it reaches over and touches him, and it was like rubbing up his arm and everything. I'm like, wow, okay, that's like an intelligent response. Mm-hmm. So it stopped doing it, and we asked it to do it again, and it did it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we had two intelligent responses right there from something that was standing in front of this closet. So the woman's like, or the wife's like, "Oh, let me do it." So we said, "Sure." I said, "If you really want to." So she goes in there, and we ask, "Can you give Terry a hug?" So this entity and got up and hugged her.
And you're seeing this on the camera. You're seeing like what you're viewing is you're seeing the stick figure, if you will, because that's what shows up on screen. Go over, and it appears on camera to be embracing and hugging this woman. Is she feeling it while you're seeing this?
I don't know if she's actually feeling it because she has so many emotions at that time going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's, you know, like she's still scared. She's still, her anxiety is still there.
Yeah.
Probably
almost numb. I would be guessing is what she's probably feeling at that moment.
But my investigator sat there, and he can actually feel something touching his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So if at that point, if it was when it was hugging her, if she was calm enough to actually just get her mind right to figure out what's happening, she might have been able to feel it. Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. So we did that, and we caught it on video, and I'm like, "Oh, wow." I said, "Okay." I said, "That's crazy." So I went into the alert. They have like a learning center there, like a learning room made out of, I don't know, it was probably bedrooms at one time. And so I go in there, and I'm asking questions, and I get an old man over my report, like a grumbly, like old man, like,
yeah,
I'm like the only one in there. And I'm like, okay, so I got an EVP in a child's room. Get me out of here. And then now we got a issue with a stick figure in front of a closet door, touching my investigator and hugging the owner of the house. And so I'm in here in this I guess, learning center, and I get an old man's voice. To me, it sounds like either it's two or three entities at the time. So right now, I'm not feeling any tension or anything bad there at the time.
Okay.
But my question was the first EVP. Get me out of here. Normally, you almost have to fight them to get them away from a property, a house. You know that.
Yeah.
And unless they want to move on. But so we sat there, or I sat there, and I got this older person's voice over the, I couldn't understand what it's saying. It's telling me that it was the weaker entities in the house. That's what it was telling me.
When you say it's one of the weaker entities in the house and it's telling you that, how is it telling you that?
Because because usually if you have a dominant EVP or like the one that you heard, that's the dominant entity. There's always got to be a dominant, like, person in your house or, you know.
Okay.
Different things. And so you could tell they were kind of like, they didn't have enough energy.
Okay.
They don't have enough energy to manifest to tell you their story.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
So we took a little break and we were talking and she was describing what she was hearing with the doors slamming. She slammed the door so hard she knocked a picture off the wall and broke the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. I was like, okay. So she's going, she's still got some anxiety in and whatever, but she finally calms down and she's like, okay, I want to go in one of the kids' rooms and ask. I want to do an EVP session.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, you know, you got to figure out different ways to investigate. So he's like, sure, go ahead. So we give her a voice recorder and she goes and sits in this room, in one of the kids' rooms. I believe it's where we caught the figure in front of the closet. That's where she was at.
Okay.
And she was sitting there asking questions. And she first got a voice that we don't know what it says. It was like something behind you or whatever, but it was, you could tell it was a dominant EVP. You can actually, it's like, wow, that's pretty loud.
Yeah.
It had enough energy to tell you something. So as she was sitting there, all of a sudden the voice said, you better check your closet.
Check the closet. Is that what it said?
That's what it said. You better check your closet.
Your closet. Okay.
Yeah. So she's in this room and she gets, you better check your closet.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wow. And the whole time she was asking other questions. And then, if you want to play that EVP, now you can.
So this is the EVP that says you better check your closet. Is that correct?
No, this one is the EVP that says we like your pain.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Because she's like, why are you here? I need to know why you're doing this. Why are you here? And then all of a sudden you hear, we like your pain.
Okay. Take a listen, and if you're someone who does not like hearing EVPs or something that This one particularly, I hear a lot of EVPs are sent to me all the time, but this one particularly has a very dark tone to it. I'd say one of the darker that I've heard. So if this is something you don't want played in your home or your environment, I'd say turn the volume down for about the next 15 seconds, and we may replay it. So here we go. There it is. Just what a creepy thing. I mean, we like your pain, and whispered in such a malevolent, you know, just diabolical tone. Are you hearing this in real time as you're asking the questions, or is this something you only hear on playback?
No, that's during playback. That's okay. That's what that is. That now, as for hearing it in real time, if she heard that in real time, I think she would have got up and ran out of the house and ran.
Yeah,
I don't think she would ever go back in the house again.
I think I would have too. I mean, that would I think that would have made me say, "I'm done. This has been fun. Thank you very much. Let's go get the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity at Denny's and call it a night." That is disturbing to hear something like that.
So we're trying to figure out what's this, because we want to be 100% with our EVPs. So we're discussing it. Of course, you know, you got to debunk. You're not debunking that. I'm sorry. I mean, that's ridiculous. And so we're trying to figure out what it says. And one of my investigators was like, I'm not really sure. I said, well, play it back again. And he played it again. And it's, we like your pain. And I'm like, it says we like your pain.
Yeah, it clearly does.
We just wanted to make sure as many times as you listen to it, and it keeps coming up to the same thing, I'm going to call it out. We like your pain. That's exactly what it was. So what I think it was feeding off of, because that was the most dominant EVP or possible entity in the house. So I'm thinking they, you know, it could be feeding off her anxiety. It could be definitely feeding off the kids. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're having dreams of hands coming out the wall to get them, and it's in their bedroom, this entity's in their bedroom messing with them, okay, who's to say it's not going to get in their dreams and make them see things that they should not see?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the imaginary friend that one of the children play with. I don't know if it's a dark shadow they play with or if they actually see a child. So then you got to wonder, then you got to think, okay, is this child playing with that entity in their bedroom?
Yeah.
Because that's one of those things that you're like, oh my God. So we end up leaving. We go back, and then we told her, we're going to get you help. So we got a hold of Hoosier Hunts out there in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to them a bit. And then because we do our own podcast also.
Mm-hmm.
And a demonologist heard our podcast on this. And she was, or Carrie was, a guest on our podcast. And she seemed in good spirits. She didn't seem like, you know, she was in any peril or anything like that. She, and then we played that EVP. And this guy's like, oh my God. He said, that's demonic. It's from the land. Which doesn't surprise me, because it used to be Indian reservation and a swampland. Who knows how many bodies could be buried around that area?
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Joe Campbell about the demon-infested home. In part two, when did the activity begin in this house? Has been passed down for generations. When a demonologist confirmed that the voices coming through the home were in fact demonic, what action did the family take? Does the land hold anything that may cause this dark energy to invade the home? And how are the kids coping with these disturbing experiences in their home? We'll discuss all of that and more. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up to be one at patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. $5 a month is what it is. You get access to all of our interviews in their entirety, part one and part two, hundreds of hours to binge away on. And you also get advanced episodes of our program months before they're released to the public in their entirety and all ad-free. So if you like the show and you don't like ads and you want to hear everything, then that $5 a month will be well spent. Patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper to help support the program and keep us on the air. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.